Hello, pet parents. I'm finally saying it, Chip.
Yeah, there you go.
They're not clients anymore. Yeah. They're pet parents. I'm loving it. So, good morning. Here we go again on, I don't know how many episodes, what episode this is. I know we've done a few now. And boy, I'm having a lot of fun doing this. I look forward to this as much as I do anything all week long, every week. And today, we're going to go in a new direction.
Mm-hmm.
We just finished up the top 10 Google questions for dogs, and that was a lot of fun. And now it's time for our small little feline patients that are cats.
Yep.
And we're going to do the top 10 Google questions on cats. We're going to be talking about things like, why does my cat purr? How long do they live? You know, why do they knead with mm-hmm. their paws? Why do they sleep so much? I get that question all the time. And one that we've talked about before, we'll talk about it again real quickly, is about their whiskers. Mm-hmm. So those are the kind of topics we're going to cover today.
Yep, and I want to encourage all the pet parents that only have dogs to listen to this, because it is actually some really interesting things. It applies like when you're at the zoo, because there's cats there, and they're not a whole lot different than the ones in the house. So
most of this is with cats is going to be behavior.
Yeah.
And behavior, the things that we recommend for behavior training on cats can be applied to dogs too. So we hope that our dog clients will listen, and just like our cat clients listen.
Client, what?
Here we go. Here we go. I'll get it.
Yeah.
By episode 100, I will.
All right.
Our pet parents will get it. So we're going to do that, and stay tuned as always to the end of the podcast. We've got a really interesting case of the week this week, and I'm just going to leave it at that because it is unusual. And I think Dr. Chip is going to present that case because he's the one that actually did the surgery, and it was a cool surgery. So stay tuned for that. But as always, we go to our beautiful producer now, Julie, and she's going to introduce our cool pet discovery.
Hello, Gary. Excuse my voice today. I got a little bit of a frog in it. But yeah, so we found something really cool. Well, I wouldn't say it's cool, but it's functional. And honestly, I just got sucked in on Facebook with a little help of my son that said, hey, did you see this? And I bought it. And what it's called, and you've probably seen it on Facebook, it's called like a Mud Buster. So it's a portable little, looks like a Tupperware shaker, and it's got little silicone bristles on the inside that are soft, and you can dip your muddy paws of your dog inside this and wash it off. So, you know, I got sucked in, and I ordered it, and I thought, is this really going to work? So we did. We brought it home, and we tried it.
That's nice.
And I have to say, when I first tried it, I'm like, oh, I don't think I'm going to like this. First of all, you have to have a dog that's going to cooperate. But when you put the dog's paws in this, and it goes through the silicone bristles, it comes out pretty wet. So I thought, this is not going to work. But once I got a mud buster, it's called, not a mud buster, but it's called
a special towel.
Yeah, it's called, actually what I'm using is messy mutt towels, and they're real absorbent. So once you, if you put it in this mud buster, the paw in the mud buster, take it up and down a couple times, put it in the messy mutt carpet, then it washes off pretty well. So it's pretty good.
One thing I noticed as you were doing that last night, actually one of our upcoming guests on our podcast, her dogs are staying with us, and she was the one that was actually, her name is Cindy, she was actually doing it on her dog, and I noticed when she did it on the first paw, she was dipping the paw in and out of the unit, and her dog's very cooperative, so it worked, but it seemed to work better on the other three paws as she was taking the unit on and off of the paw itself, so the dog just had to stay there, and the unit was moving.
I did too, and I noticed that her dogs liked it.
They did, but boy, you got her dogs happy again.
Yeah, they're
probably
really
the most cooperative dogs ever. So,
well, so really, that was really a good point, because when I first did it, I wasn't sure, but when I watched her do it, and then I watched the dirt that came off of the paws of hers, I mean, it was great. So I think if you're going to get this, it's called Mud Busters. And just make sure you get like an absorbent towel to go with it. But one thing I've been wanting to say, we haven't said the entire time we've done this show, we don't get paid paid for these. No. I mean, we buy these things, we test them out, we look at them. We don't have a sponsor on this part of the show. It's just our raw thoughts. So anyway, if you want this, you can find it on Amazon.com. I'm sure pet stores have it, and I swear it's like every other. Facebook has my number,
it
but
wasn't very
it's
expensive.
Well, it was $24.
Ooh,
yes.
I
think you can find other ones that are a little bit cheaper, but the one that we used was Mudbuster. But again, it's every other ad on Facebook. Facebook has my number. So,
well,
but anyway.
I know that. Yeah. They've also got your credit card.
Yeah.
Amazon.
Yeah. So anyway, Amazon.com, you can find it. The one I bought was Dexys Petwear Mudbuster Portable Dog Paw Cleaner. That's it.
Cool. Thanks a lot, Julie. We'll see you next episode.
All right, so question number one on the top 10 most Googled questions for cats is, no surprise, why do cats purr?
Okay, how many episodes do you want?
I think we need to speed this one up a little bit. We had so much fun with the dogs, and I personally have been considered the crazy cat vet around the office, so I could honestly do 10 episodes, but I think... You know, we need to move through these and...
Let's just move through the questions, and then we can go back and do separate episodes
true.
On these things, because I think that would be good.
Yeah. So don't let me get carried away, because I do love cats.
So what about purring?
Yeah, it's... purring is an interesting sound as far as a veterinarian standpoint. If we think about the respiratory function of a cat, you know, a lot of sounds like we make have to do with inhaling and exhaling. Cats make this purring sound, and it's constant throughout the whole respiratory cycle.
Yep.
I think that doesn't tell why, but I just think that's very interesting. It's not part of the actual breathing operation, and I know it's generated in like the throat, the larynx, pharyngeal muscles, those type of things. But the question why, they do it for all sorts of reasons, but the number one reason I think they do it is a sign of contentment. There's been studies that show that newborn kittens will purr while they're nursing their mom to signal to the mom that everything's okay.
Yep, all is well.
Yep, all is well.
Yep.
Now, there are reports that, and we see this too, that it's not just contentment. That's the majority time we see it, but they do it when they're afraid, not all cats, or distressed. We get to see it in all forms in the hospital.
Well, I mean, we know that, yeah, contentment, I would agree, is the majority of the time. But every single day in our cat room, we have a separate cat room at the hospital for examinations, the cats are on that exam table purring.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they're not happy.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully they are happy at our office.
Yeah.
But we try real hard to make them stress-free. But they're purring, and it's not because they're content.
Mm-hmm.
They do purr for other reasons.
I'd say in our office, they're content.
If they're seeing you, this is the crazy cat vet, they're happy.
You know, contentment is a sign. There's more than just purring. We look at their pupils. Are they dilated versus constricted?
Right.
Are they displaying the behaviors? So I feel pretty comfortable when a cat is purring due to discontent versus content. It's due to other cues, but so.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I, from what I've read, I mean, I know that they will also purr when they're distressed or they're afraid or even if they're sick. And so that's kind of the about purring. I know you are more into behavioral type things, and you will probably focus more on that contentment and happiness of cats when they're purring. For me, as a clinician, if I see a cat that is purring, it's hard for me to say that that's a red flag for, oh, this cat has a disease process going on because it's purring.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for cause and effect type things. With cats, if they're purring, they could be happy, they could be sad, they could be afraid. So, I mean, I don't know really how to interpret that other than I have to go with odds. And you're saying the majority of the time it's from contentment, and I can accept that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. And one last little cool fact about cats that purr, it's a display, and I could be wrong about this, but to my understanding, that is only in small cats, meaning our domesticated cats that we know about, cheetahs, bobcats, the lions and tigers and stuff, it's not the same.
Lions and tigers? What about bears?
Oh, my. Right, you had to do it.
I love Wizard of Oz. Yeah. Go ahead.
All right, no, that's it. I think that covers purring. And I want to ask you the next question. Number two, how long do cats live?
13 to 17 years.
Oh, done. Okay.
Number three. Hey, no, I'm just kidding and throwing that out there because, I mean, dogs and cats, I get asked that question almost every exam, especially when it's new puppies and new kittens. And that is the answer in the perfect world. Mm-hmm. If they don't have any illnesses and they're well taken care of and getting all their preventative vaccines and everything, getting spayed and neutered and all the things being equal, they will live 13 to 17 years. But I got to put in a big disclaimer on that. That number is based on indoor cats.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that the numbers are out there statistically for outdoor cats because they're just hard to quantify, you know, what they're doing all the time. But I've heard, I know it's a low number of mm-hmm. years that an outdoor cat will live.
Lower? It'd
be surprisingly lower. It's somewhere in the 2 to 3 year, maybe four.
Wow.
If it was five, that would be a long life for an outdoor cat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean that an outdoor cat doesn't live to be 20, but a lot of human beings live to be 100 too, but it's rare. So if you're looking at averages, I'd say the average outdoor cat, 2 to 3, maybe 4 or 5, versus 13 to 17 for an indoor cat. So mm-hmm. the takeaway here should be, we encourage cats to be indoors. And why is that? Why would an outdoor cat?
Well, that we encourage cats to be indoors, but I think the evidence also shows is in the veterinarian world and the owners, there's been a better appreciation for cats' needs physiologically and behavioral. So we are able to intervene and help them out. Like, for example, this is, without being too technical, a common disease in cats is chronic kidney disease. And the unfortunate thing about it is it doesn't show up on blood work or even clinical signs until it's 70% advanced.
At 70%,
it's irreversible. So by getting your cat into the vet for routine blood work, you could check the kidney function and it might be normal. And then you check it again the next year and it's still normal, but it's elevated. Then you can start intercepting, say there's a trend here that kidney disease is taking place.
Yep.
So the things like that have helped that lifespan. Because I know 13 to 17, that's almost up like 25% over the past years.
Oh, yeah.
And that's all because of owners getting them into the vet, being more aware of their needs, things like Google, helping them out with behavior ideas.
I've been in practice almost 40 years now, you know that. And when I first started, when I was in your shoes, just graduated, I'd say that number was probably 12 to 14. Now it's 13 to 17.
Okay.
We've definitely improved the lifespan of cats for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, just maybe we're dwelling on this one too long, we got to move along, but another perfect example of the indoor versus outdoor discrepancy in length of lifespan is we've learned a lot about this virus called leukemia virus.
Mm-hmm.
And outdoor cats are just way, way more exposed to leukemia virus than indoor cats.
Mm-hmm.
Don't fall into the trap out there, pet parents, that my cat's indoors, it can't get leukemia. It can.
Mm-hmm.
And we see it happen all the time. It's very shocking to people. So get your leukemia vaccines. And outdoor cats are just going to get leukemia more often.
Yeah, it's a good point. There is so many reasons why they're living longer indoor versus outdoor.
What about fighting? Cats, male cats,
are
huge fighters, and they get abscesses and infections.
And resources.
Poisoning, you name it. So, all right. That's a great question, and I think that's a pretty good answer, too. Here we go. Back to something that's very similar to question number three on the Google list of cat questions. It's kind of similar to why do cats purr. Another behavioral thing that's kind of unique to cats, or we get a lot of questions about, Why do cats knead mm-hmm. with their paws?
Yeah, kneading meaning like they're gripping something. Yeah.
Kneading bread.
Or, yeah, pushing their hands on your lap or.
Neck.
Yep.
So what do you think?
So I know, so we talked about this with why do cats purr? Kittens do it on the mother's mammary glands to help stimulate milk production. Mm-hmm. So that is a retained behavior into their adulthood. And cats that do in adulthood, it's can be connected to marking their territory, pheromone stimulation.
That's something I bet a lot of people don't know is there's little glands in their paws
mm-hmm.
that produce, what'd you call them?
Pheromones.
I might want to explain that a little. What's a pheromone?
Pheromone is a pleasing mechanism that they release that promotes calming.
Yeah.
They do it with their faces too. When they rub their face on against the chair or on you, they stimulate a facial pheromone that promotes calming and contentment, like we talked about with purring.
We that's why I think you're confident in our cat examination room that they're calm and content, because we use pheromones that are sprayed into the air through an air freshener or directly out of a bottle on towels
mm-hmm.
that are pheromones.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think the veterinary community is embracing this thing called pheromones.
Yeah, for
probably
sure.
Probably another podcast episode.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Any other reasons why they might
They could do, I mean, they just like dogs will dig at their bedding and stuff. They can make their bed for sleeping, those type of things. But I think what this question is getting at here is what you talk about when your cat's kneading your leg or kneading your neck. It's more of just a sign of contentment, affection.
It's a positive thing.
It's a positive thing.
Yeah,
and they learned it from their most content time in their life is nursing from their mom.
So. I can speak from experience that cats that I've had, we have two at the clinic that live there at the clinic.
Mm-hmm.
When they're kneading on your lap or even on your neck, it's relaxing to me. I can almost feel my blood pressure go down.
Yeah.
So a lot of times out there when we're having a tough day, I go grab a cat, let it knead on my neck a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It helps a lot.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So I'll take the next question. And boy, this is something that all cat owners, all cat parents know that their cats do is they sleep a lot.
Yep.
And they just do. And I really don't think it's because they're lazy. I think it's innate, their innate nature to sleep a lot, because they are, even though they're domesticated cats in our house that need on our necks mm-hmm. and purr, they're predators.
They are.
And their ancestors were hunters.
The lion chasing the gazelle.
And they're killers. I mean, they are murderers for food.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's their nature. So if you watch a tiger or a lion chasing a gazelle out in the African savannah, that tiger is going to sleep a lot, resting up and storing energy, because to catch a gazelle, you got to have stored up energy, and you have a burst of energy for like 30 seconds to creep up on it real slow. You see it all on National Geographic.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, there better be a burst of energy. And if you've been playing all day with your litter mates or your buddies and stuff, and then you go try to catch a gazelle and you're not rested up, you're going to go hungry because you're not going to catch a gazelle.
So how does that relate to domesticated cats? Because it does.
Oh, yeah. They sleep all the time,
too. I mean, they sleep all the time, too. And the reason, and they're not chasing gazelles and things, but they when they play and they chase the little feather toy that's across the room, that is a full-body exertion.
They're on.
And I can relate to this. I grew up wrestling from kindergarten all the way through high school. It is a full-body exercise experience. It wears you out.
Exhausted.
Yeah.
In a minute or two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and unfortunately for pet parents, cats are more nocturnal.
Yeah.
So your cat is likely to have these bursts of energy in the middle of night while you're trying to sleep.
On your head.
Yeah.
I hear that all the time.
Yeah, I hear the rustle and tussle downstairs while I'm sleeping, or my cat's at me while I'm sleeping. So that's kind of funny.
So I guess the bottom line is don't blame your cat for being lazy. That's their nature. Let them sleep. Let them take their, quote, cat naps.
Yeah, 15 plus hours a day.
Yeah. And that
must be nice.
Don't worry about it. Are you saying I'm overworking you?
No, no. It's like, you know, our human nature is if we sleep more than 6 hours, we feel like we're worthless. Well, you know, the cats don't feel bad about it.
They don't feel bad at all. We should take a lesson from cats.
Yeah.
All right. So when we get done with this podcast, we've got clients to go see at the, or pet parents to go see at the office. So we're not going to be taking any cat naps.
No, no cat naps.
We might want to, but we're not going to.
Yeah.
All right, I think we're going to wrap up this session with one more question. We'll get through the first five with cats. What's the last question?
Why do cats have whiskers?
That's the one we've talked about before, but let's just kind of redo it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Very, again, like with dogs, but more so than dogs, cats rely on these for tactile. A tactile function on surrounding and whereabouts.
I always picture a cat like hunting. This predatory nature, wanting to go down a hole after a mole or a vole or a chipmunk or something. And they've got to know if they can fit in there or not. And if you measure whiskers, they stick out from the cat's head just about as far as the width of their body. So if they can stick their head in there and their whiskers aren't touching the sides of that hole, then they're pretty confident with that tactile sensory ability that they can get in that hole and get out.
Yep.
I find that fascinating.
That is fascinating, too. They're the sensory organ to them also. It's important that we do not trim these things or shave them as pet parents. Because they rely on these things. Yes, even when throughout your house, they're getting under the couch or whatever it is. It's important.
Or brushing against a wall, they know that they're close.
Yeah, and just the other day, I was removing an eye from a cat that ruptured, and when I was shaving, I was like, the whisker. It's so easy to do because you want a clean surgical field, and it's like I cannot shave these whiskers because this cat's going to rely on them even more so now that it doesn't have an eye.
On that side.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, definitely. And by the way, you did a really good job in that case. And actually, that could be an interesting case too because the owner, I'm just going to throw it out there. We're not going to talk about it at all, but this cat came back from Iraq with a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
He took care of it for him.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that maybe on an interesting case next week or something. Okay. So that's... the top five, we'll finish up with the next five for cats at the next episode. Let's move into wrapping up this entire podcast like we always do with our interesting case of the week. Okay, here we go, the interesting case of the week. I'll introduce it because you were the surgeon.
Well, maybe I should introduce this case.
Go ahead.
Yeah, because
you're the man.
Yeah. I'm going to take over on this one. I'm not going to let you introduce this.
Not going to let me spin it.
No, you just need to sit back and relax.
How hard that is for me.
Yeah, I know. So Monday morning, so when we do surgeries, we open up at 7 a.m. for clients to drop off their pets and get set up. We come in at 8 o'clock and start surgeries. Well, about 7:15, I get a call from our customer service representative, and she's asking me how to do an estimate for a rooster. And I'm thinking, okay, I looked at the schedule last night. All we had was a dental. I didn't know about the rooster, but you know, maybe my dad had something come up over the weekend. And in the notes, I know you want to talk right now. You can't. No. And in the notes, it told our technician to start a IV catheter in the vein, and we're going to do a neuter for this rooster. And she kept asking me, how do I estimate this? I'm thinking, so all my knowledge of chickens and roosters have gone out the window this time, and I'm scrambling to think, what do I tell her to do? And first, neutering a rooster would be news to me, and a tail vein would be not right. We were thinking feather veins. So all the stuff I know about this has gone out the window because my dad will bring in, you never know what he's going to bring in, and it's the weekend. So I'm thinking he's got something worked out with the neighbor guy that he's going to do. And at first, there's no way it's a neuter. That's just a mistake. And he's got something worked out. And she's just really, because it could be kind of stressful in the morning, and we don't have a rooster category. So I told her, like, just put an estimate. Maybe it's a sick rooster. Just put an estimate under my dog, because there's only canine and feline ones, and let them know how much it's going to be for IV catheter and IV fluids and hospitalization. And I'm just thinking, what in the world? I was kind of stressed. And so then, and she hangs out. I said, okay, well, I'll be in at 8 and we'll look at this. And she calls me back and says, I just realized something. It's April 1st. It's April Fool's Day. And I was thinking, oh my gosh. So that,
by the time I got there at 8 o'clock, you guys had it figured out, but I came in at 8 o'clock with a cat carrier with a bunch of and was trying to thinking you still were planning on taking care of this rooster, and you'd already had it figured out.
And then you said, yeah, I'm gonna use my work boot as anesthesia. I was thinking, what in the world?
Well, you know what, honestly, in the old days when they had to work on chickens and anyone, whatever they had to do, they would stick their head down in a work boot and get them to hold still. So
it was because it smelled so bad?
Yeah, exactly. Hold them still for sure.
Yeah.
I've never done that, but I know the old farmers used to.
Yeah, so that wasn't our case. But, man, it's just an example for me of being your son. All my practical veterinary knowledge that I know about chickens and roosters went completely out the window, because – all I thought was my dad had something from the weekend neighbor farm coming in. And
well, the thing that was that I really got a kick out of is you're hard to fool.
Yeah, I know. I was fooled. Got you. You got me.
We got you.
Interesting
case of the week was just an April Fool's joke. So I'm just now waiting for the retaliation.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All day long I was on guard.
Yeah.
So, all right. So if you want to wrap everything up, we'll see you at the next episode.
Yeah, so if you guys are enjoying this and you want to find us on other platforms, you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, springbrovet.com, Spotify, vetstalkpets.com, and TuneIn. Leave us a review and let us know what you think.
See you next time, and watch out for crazy roosters.